This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 6th of November 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. This week we have a nice variety of films up for discussion, from the documentary about Pakistani Nobel Prize-winning activist Malala Yousafzai to the re-release of one of the most iconic films of all times, Brief Encounter, and we sample the touching Immigrant's Tale, Brooklyn. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Let's get started. Joining me in studio to share her opinions with us is Monocle friend and film critic Karen Krzanovich. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you.
We'll start the show with the new documentary about Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani teenager who was shot by the Taliban for advocating education for girls. As the youngest ever Nobel Prize winner, her story is an extraordinary one, and this has now been chronicled in a documentary made by filmmaker David Guggenheim, whose past credits include An Inconvenient Truth. Now, Karen, how has he approached her story?
Well, it's a story that needs to be told. I think Malala has really caught the attention of the world, particularly after she was shot by a Taliban gunman in 2013. Even before then, we got to hear about her from the BBC. They did a blog where she was anonymous for a while, and then she was revealed to be this particular girl. It's been approached as a very child-friendly, almost girl-friendly kind of documentary, where it's not cunningly cut. It's not dynamic in any way. It's not cinematic, but it's quite intimate, and it's very focused in what it wants to say. It's focused to the point where you almost feel as if you're missing a little bit of the story.
Well, let's have a little clip now from the film called He Named Me Malala.
There's a moment when you have to choose whether to be silent or to stand up.
Tonight, Malala remains in intensive care.
She was shot in the head for daring to suggest girls should go to school.
Me and my wife, we cried all the night.
The doctors told me she will survive, but she may not be the same as she was.
They shot me on the left side of my head. They thought that the bullet would silence us. I am the same Malala.
A clip from the documentary film He Named Me Malala. She is, listening to that clip, really quite an extraordinary young girl. And it's amazing. This film, they followed her for 18 months. It is amazing to have got that kind of one-on-one access with her.
Oh, absolutely. And what you see is you see her playing with her brothers, and they say she's a bit naughty. And you see that she's not, she has to work hard at her studies. But you also see the incredible affinity she has with her father, Ziauddin. And this has been a little bit of a bone of contention. I actually had an argument with somebody over Twitter about this, where they were saying, she's just a puppet of her father, and I'm like, well, really, that isn't the point of this documentary. This documentary is to highlight this young woman who has been nominated twice for the Nobel, won it once, has been shot for her beliefs, left for dead, survived, and continues to raise awareness of education and safety for women around the world.
And also, isn't it amazing that a child can be inspired by her parents? We all are the fabric of our parents, sometimes for better, for worse. But isn't this great that this is an example of for better? I'm interested in the techniques of this documentary. I gather there's the use of some whimsical animation.
Yes. And I think that this is what makes the documentary more presentable for children and teenagers. The little parts of the story, for example, where she got her name, which is kind of tragic because she's named after a heroine who fought and was shot in a war fighting the British, of all things. That is done in a whimsical kind of watercolor, as are other points, other story points. And it shortens the storytelling process. It also makes it more palatable and brings a levity and a youth to telling all of the backstory.
There is a lot of news footage of her and her story. Is that woven into this documentary?
No, not really. There's a bit, but primarily it is her experiences, talking to camera, giggling. They're quite short scenes, actually. We don't see her under any particular duress. She seems to be very together as a young woman. And again, we have to remember that she's from a culture where, as she says, and as her father has said in speeches around the world, that in this culture, when a boy is born, everybody celebrates, and when a girl is born, people pretty much do nothing. So the fact that when she was born, he put her down on the family register was automatically quite a revolutionary thing to do in that area of Pakistan.
A lot of people have sort of been criticizing it, saying everyone knows the story. You know, what is this, the point? Are we just making a celebrity out of her? But a lot of people only know the headlines.
That's true. And that's fair enough, because it can seem very removed. If you're in a situation where women are going to school, where they have jobs, where they're fighting for a different form of equality, then what Malala is after seems very almost archaic, really. But I think it is important, considering that she is fighting for the welfare of girls in the Congo, fighting the Boko Haram, and also berating politicians for not giving the youth enough benefit of the doubt.
And will this film appeal to young people, or is it really the older and the wiser that will be struck by her power?
You know who I think is really going to really like this film? Is 12-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls, 14-year-old girls, people that want to be inspired and have heroes. There's nothing wrong with having a hero like Malala.
He Named Me Malala is out now in the US of A, Germany and the UK, and month by month it will be rolling out in cinemas around the world. Let's move on now to touch on a little nostalgia. Brief Encounter, the classic 1945 British film starring Celia Johnson and Trevor Howard, is celebrating its 70th birthday with a re-release. Now, with the black and white backdrop of trains and train stations, this film is considered by movie lovers as one of the most romantic films of all time. First, Karen, for anyone out there who may not know the story, can you concertina it for us?
A lot of people don't know the story, frighteningly enough. It's about a couple who meet at a railway. And don't forget, the background is steam age railway. So automatically, this is where the big plumes of steam come up, enveloping the lovers. It's almost a cliche, but it's still beautiful. This is probably where it began. It's based on a play by Noel Coward called Still Life. And one is married, one is not. It's a Celia Johnson and Trevor Howard meet at a railway station and they fall in love slowly. Now, this is a problem because it's 1946 and nobody thinks that adultery is a good thing. In fact, it still isn't a good thing. And yet they find themselves ineluctably drawn together. And it is heightened by fabulous music, wonderful cinematography by the same Australian DOP, Robert Krasker, who did The Third Man. In fact, he won an Oscar for that. And it's simply sumptuous and beautiful. And in fact, Robert Altman said he went to go and see it. He had no idea why he was going to go and see it. Celia Johnson wasn't a babe. How could he say that? And yet in 20 minutes, he was weeping.
Well, let's hear what that's like.
Can I help you?
No, please, it's only something in my eye.
Please let me look. I happen to be a doctor.
That's very kind of you.
Oh. Shall I see you again? Please.
No, I couldn't possibly.
Next Thursday, the same time. I thought you wouldn't come. How often did you decide that you were never going to see me again?
Several times a day.
So did I. I love you. I love your wide eyes. The way you smile.
Dear listeners, Karen and I are almost weeping in studio.
Verklempt.
A clip from Brief Encounter. You hear from the clipped English voices. It is a period piece.
Yes.
But it's not dated.
No, it's not. In fact, you know, you listen to this and you think, oh, aren't they speaking in a funny way? Well, maybe. This film is so iconic that people have been imitating it and spoofing it for 70 years, really. So, of course, you're going to be saying, oh, yeah, they talk funny. But it's beautifully done. It has not dated for a minute. And if you are looking forward to seeing director Todd Haynes' Carol, coming out with Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara, the opening sequence is inspired directly from Brief Encounter. In fact, well, the other day in the newspaper, some American guy wrote an article where he said that this was no longer relevant and it was constipated. This is what happens when you don't understand a culture. This is so specifically English, not British, English, that if you've lived here for a long time, this will rip your heart out.
But don't you think it rips our heart out because it's about emotional love and not just physical love?
That's right. And it's about people who fall in love even though they don't want to. They have other lives to lead. And yet it is this white hot immediacy that if we're lucky, will happen to us.
You touched on it. The setting is the age of the steam train. And what really makes it so iconic is the fact that this was filmed in black and white. And I think somehow if it was filmed in color, the effect would have been totally different.
Possibly. I mean, black and white is very, very difficult to handle. Then again, it's David Lean. Mm-hmm. David Lean, who began as an editor, understands pacing, understands location, and of course, has a wonderful DOP. It's simply marvelous, and give yourself a chance and watch it. Just give it half an hour, and if you're not pulled in, I'll give you your money back.
The casting is interesting because if you look at Celia Johnson, if you look at Trevor Howard, so far from the romantic heroes of our movies today.
That's another reason why it's so effective, because we can see ourselves in these people. You don't have to be a movie star. You can just be loved. And I think that that is really the whole message of Brief Encounter.
Well, Brief Encounter is being released, re-released in the UK this week to celebrate the 70th anniversary, but also, of course, can be found on DVDs and in arthouse cinemas well beyond the UK. Let's now end the show with a film called Brooklyn, which has been receiving rave reviews ever since it was premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. The film is based on Colm Tobin's novel of the same name and goes through the life of a young Irish immigrant who moves to New York in the 50s, but then has to return to her native country and remains divided between life in both countries and divided between two loves. Is this a tale of heartbreak or of hope?
Ooh, both, actually. It's one of those stories where you think to yourself, this is going to be very predictable. I'm going to know what's going to happen. This young Irish girl, you know, she's quite attractive, moves over, you know, gets a job, and then suddenly, you know, she has to go home just for a little bit. She's fallen in love with this short little Italian guy, and his family is very colorful, and so you love that. You love the fact that you can see that Ireland and Italy are going to join, and then suddenly you're not sure. But what's really special about Brooklyn is that it's so refreshingly low key. Mm. You don't have to sit there and wait for highs and lows. They come as in, and actually a little bit like Brief Encounter, it does seem like real life, only you're there. Sumptuous cinematography by Yves Bellanger, who also did Dallas Buyers Club and Wild. And he's always nommed at Camera Image in Poland, which is a very competitive festival for cinematographers.
Well, before we delve a little deeper into the film, let's hear a clip from Brooklyn.
Dear Rose, I think of you and Mother every single day. I have a boyfriend.
He's sweet. He's funny.
Tony has helped me to feel that I have a life here I didn't have before I met him.
Hello, Mammy.
Everyone's gone, Eilish. I have nobody.
How would it be for you if I did go home?
I'd be afraid.
Afraid that I wouldn't come back.
A clip from the film Brooklyn, directed by John Crowley. Now, I think before we talk about anything else, I think the casting is what everybody has been talking about. Can get a little, give us a little sense of who's in it and why they shine?
Well, you know that I can't pronounce Irish names. You know that
I've been practicing for the last hour.
Ahead, you do this.
Well, the lead actress, who is called Saoirse Ronan, is the actress who played Bryony at the age of 12 in Atonement, and she's now a come of age 23-year-old and gracing screens in a most amazing way. That people are saying she really is the next sort of star of her generation.
She's very, very affecting. You see her, and she seems gentle and real and present, and I think that's what this story needs. She's believable. She's not this sort of Bridget Jones kind of falling all over herself or I mean, even when she gets shook up, she's quite contained about it. And I think that this actually fits in, not to give too much away, but when we go back to Ireland and see what kind of family she grew up in, we can see that this is how they had to survive, this kind of attitude. And it doesn't necessarily work over in New York. In fact, there's a wonderful, I don't want to say a cameo, maybe it is, by Jessica Paré from Mad Men as Miss Fortini, who is her manager at the store, who's like, smile. So he's telling her to smile all the time. And another wonderful discovery is Emery Cohen, who's wonderful. I must mention, of course, Jim Broadbent and Julie Walters, who are always terrific and give young actors such a wonderful backdrop from which to work.
People have been really struck by this film, struck by its wit, its wisdom. And I think partly the plot of being torn by two possibilities in life, two possibilities of love, the what if. And there's that kind of, we've all been there. And do you think that's one of the appeals of the film?
I think so. But I also think the fact that we see a man's insecurity, he's worried about her, he's in love with her, he's afraid she's not going to come back. And she's concerned about her family back home, but she's also concerned about what's going to be her best choice. And I think it's about trusting your intuition and knowing that we do have many, many choices, but we really know which one is the right one.
Back to cinematography, one of my passions. It seems very painterly, yeah. And sometimes that can render a film over-sentimental, fine line. But this film?
I think it works very well because of the pacing. The pacing is quite, I don't want to say slow, it's measured. We see a repetition of images, for example, when she's traveling over on the boat. There's a moment where she's worried about, you know, is she going to look American enough? And then that's repeated as she comes over. I'm not giving anything away, no spoilers. Although if you watch the trailer, there are a lot of spoilers, so don't watch the trailer. But there is repetition, but it is beautifully done without being ponderous or pretentious. In fact, it's quite light and it's quite funny.
Well, definitely one to head to the cinema to see. Brooklyn premiered, as I mentioned, at the Sundance Film Festival and has been released here in the UK and is now rolling out internationally. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Karen Krasanovich, thank you very much for joining us, as always. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. My producer was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time on Monday for a look at the art scene. But for now, thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.